My naam is Frans Haasbroek, jy luister na Wysgenootse, kom ons praat rugby podcast, dit is nou sikke tyd, dit is die dag voor die finaal, ons praat vandag met Matthew Proudfoot, wat al daar was met 2019 se finals, deel van die Springbok se africhtingspan. Thank you so much for joining us, Matt, and welcome.
Good morning, Frans, and thank you for having me on your podcast, and good morning to all your listeners.
So Matt, you were part of this year's World Cup as well, as part of the Namibian rugby team's coaching staff, right?
Yeah, correct. After I finished up with Marty's, Alice asked me to just have a look at a few things they were doing. And then when one of his coaches couldn't make it, he asked me to step in and do some coaching for him. So it was just really an honor to be part of this great occasion again, to have that opportunity. Yeah. And I really, really enjoyed working with Namibia. Great bunch of players, work incredibly hard, honest players. So it was just a good coaching experience.
Yes, the challenges of coaching a country like Namibia is, like, I read somewhere that between the previous World Cup and this World Cup, they only played about 8 international games. It must have been quite a different kind of ball game than the previous time around.
Yeah, it's, I think COVID has done a lot of damage to the Tier 2 nations, the ability to get their players together, the ability to get tours into their countries. So they basically missed 2 years of rugby, which has been really, really hard on them. And I think the more the Tier 2 countries, or as they're called now, the performance nations, play regular, proper international rugby, the better it'll be for them. You can't grow players just by training. They need to play. Yes. And you need to develop the domestic game at the same time. So it's quite a tough challenge for Tier 2 nations. If you look across the world, domestic competitions are under pressure. So they're getting smaller and smaller. So it's how you balance your resources between your domestic competition and your test arena. The challenge for Namibia is to get the world rankings up. They need to get below 20, because that'll give them a favorable draw at the World Cup. Your draw is everything at the World Cup. So that's going to be their challenge over the next 4 years.
Yes. Now, looking back, or rather say looking forward to tomorrow, so you've played international rugby for Scotland, you've coached Namibia, you've coached England, and of course the Stormers, but how would 2019's rugby final rate up there in terms of personal accolades?
I hate the word personal accolades, because I don't think you play rugby for personal glory, or you don't coach rugby for personal glory. As a coach, you're a servant to the game. The game's all about the players, and it's our role as custodians of the game to make sure that the game improves, and that's the role of coaching. It's the pinnacle. It's the pinnacle of being in a final. It's the pinnacle of rugby winning a final. That moment will live with you forever. It's like a microcosm of what rugby can be. So it was just a privilege to be part of it. It was an absolute privilege to experience that. I've gone on record as saying the Wednesday before the final, we had a scrummaging session. It was probably one of the best scrummaging sessions I've ever been part of. So to see players really reach that zone of preparedness and intensity, that will live with me forever. That's almost like a benchmark of what being prepared looks like.
Yes. And the last two, the quarterfinals and the semifinals against France and England that we just played, I think the whole country has pretty much chewed their fingers off instead of just their fingernails. How do you think the players are feeling? What do you, like, we tend to, as fans, we know how we feel about the game. But in terms of this week leading up to the final, I think there's a lot of anxiety in South Africa as a whole. How do the players prepare for that and deal with that?
they just view it as another game, you know. Yes, it's a, the morning of the game, they will, you'll see them with nerves. And I think that's where coaching comes into it, is to keep them calm. I think the two tough quarterfinal and semifinal games is the greatest preparation for us. If you look at 2019, Japan was a tough game. For 60 minutes, it was a very, very tough game. And Wales came down to the last 6-8 minutes as well. So I think it's the best preparation we could have had for this final, is having two tough games. I don't think you're even under that type of pressure yet. I think against France, the one they lost, they were under that pressure. So, and other than the Ireland game, they really haven't been tested. Where I think South Africa has had their test, and particularly at the right time. I think the conditions we faced last weekend against England will be very similar to what we'll face this weekend. So having had that experience where we had to change a little bit in the game, go to a game we're comfortable with, and then learn to win that game, I think was brilliant for the team. And I think if you look at the contest of what the game is going to be on Saturday, it's ideally suited for the South Africans, and particularly going with a very big forward bench. It's going to be a game about the game line. It's going to be a game about set piece. It's going to be a game about territory. And I think we're ideally set up for that. You know, there will be small margins in the game. You know, not saying New Zealand won't be in the game. I think New Zealand will start very, very fast. They have started fast in every game. They have played this competition. So it'll be about us wearing that first 20, 25 minutes of the storm, and then taking control of the game. And I think our big set piece, our scrum and our maul, is gonna wear the All Blacks down. We saw that in the game we played against them at Twickenham. They couldn't handle the intensity of the set piece. And I think probably at scrum time they'll be the best equipped for that out of every other country. Their scrummaging has always been very, very good. So I think they're one country that could probably go with us at the scrummaging battle, but I don't think they can handle the intensity of the maul. And I think that's who we'll get. That to me will be the definitive moments of the game.
Yes. And one argument I've seen about, especially about the team that's been selected over the last, over the knockout stages and the intensity of the game, are concerned that the team might be a bit battle weary by the time they reach the final. Do you think that's any concern at all?
No. The guys that have worn the minutes are the forwards. The front row doesn't wear a lot of minutes, so they tend to play 50 minutes or 30 minutes, depending on whether they start or that. So their game time isn't heavy. The guys that have worn the minutes, you know, are the back five, so the two locks, the back row. You know, Sears had a lot of game. He's played, started, but come off. Dwayne hasn't played the whole competition, so he hasn't got a lot of minutes. Peter Steff has got minutes. So he's the one that, but he's probably the fittest forward we have got. And he's a phenomenal athlete. So if there's only one player that I had to look at, that I would say this guy might be a bit tired, would be Peter Steff because of the minutes he's played. But knowing the player, I think he could play two games on a Saturday and it wouldn't bug him. You know, so other than that, you know, the two locks will play 50 minutes each. You know, Eben will give everything. I think knowing Eben the way I know him, he's been nominated for Player of the Year. I think it's going to be the best game you've seen from Eben on Saturday. I think he's going to be absolutely ferocious for the 50, 60 minutes that he'll be on the field. And I don't think the All Blacks can handle that. You know, so Eben will want to make a statement for that award. He'll want to make a statement for the country. Just looking at where he is in his life, he's in a very, very good space. He's enjoying his rugby. He loves being part of the Springbok environment. So he'll give everything. You know, it might be one of the last times we see him at a World Cup. Maybe, maybe not. If he, you know, he's 31, 32 now. Could he play another 4 years? I don't know. It's particularly the way he plays. So he will give everything for this moment. And he'll lead the pack again. You know, and then he'll come off and John Klein will come on and finish it. And we'll have the same with Al-Hisnaiman and Sos. So the pack is situated to give a physical intensity of 60 minutes that I haven't seen a pack of forwards in world rugby that will be able to handle it. The pack has grown tremendously. over the last 4 years. You know, when we won the, particularly when we won in, was it 2018, when we won in New Zealand, it was almost the birth of that pack where they, you started seeing them get their self-confidence, winning it and just going on winning the British and Irish series, you know, so going up against the best of the Northern Hemisphere, beating the best of the Northern Hemisphere, that pack has just grown in confidence. In that game in at Twickenham, you could see the pack, they were comfortable. They were comfortable knowing exactly what they've got to do in the heat of the moment, away from home, in a foreign environment, in the Northern Hemisphere, against their biggest opposition, and they battered them. And I think we're going to see more of the same on Saturday.
Yeah, and the thing is, what you mentioned about the scrums, especially about the forward pack, is when we played against England, just by knowing what we've seen over the last, actually 4 years, more than 4 years, at the beginning of that game with the first scrum, and it was a really, really solid scrum, the first thing I thought was the English are going to have a tough time towards the end of this game. Because it just feels with the caliber of the players that comes off the bench, as well as like the caliber of our, not a lot of teams can match the forward pack's intensity for the duration of the 80 minutes. Not I've seen, and that's exactly what we've seen in the quarter in the semifinals.
100%. You know, my player of the World Cup has been France Mojave. The scrum has been crucial. Right? Having coached Namibia, we got dished up by the big nations, France, New Zealand. They dished us up a bit at scrum time. And to see the importance of the set piece, in particular the scrum, at the World Cup, and the South African pack, the scrum has never been under pressure, never. And that is because of France Mojave. You know, so if you've got a tight head that never once has been put under pressure, so what he does is he puts your team on the front foot. And it's almost like him being the opening batsman. You know, if you look at batsmen, batting teams, cricket teams that can score big scores in test matches, you've got to go and look at the number one and their number two and see how effective they are. And that's what Stephen Bongi and France are doing, is they're setting up the team to be able to play the way they want to play. Just by never being under pressure. So every time there's a restart and the referee blows the whistle, the Springboks can know, well, we're going to be in control of this next situation. So it gives the team so much confidence. That whole emotional, mental angst is never with the Springbok team. They never have to worry about it. You know, and that's why I feel France will have deserves a bloody statue built to them. And he's going to be around for another 4 years. You know, imagine... You know, he could probably be the first player ever to win 3 World Cups back to back. You know, just because of the way he plays. And the nice thing is, he's going to play his rugby in Cape Town. He's not leaving South Africa. Yeah. You know, that sentiment to a lot that is going right in South African rugby. And I just think it's he's probably the one man that I look at and I think when I watch the game as being a fourth coach, and I think, wow, that's really impressive.
And he just goes about his business. He's not. He's never mentioned like a lot of the other players, especially like he just does his job and he does it perfectly.
Yeah, his defense is probably for a tight end. He's probably one of the best defensive tight ends. You know, he hits incredibly hard. I always remember when he came onto the scene at the Stormers and how much respect France Skalk Berger had for him.
Yeah.
And Skalk saw it in him. He saw that this young kid is got a lot about his character. You know, he doesn't look for the limelight. He doesn't want to be spoken about. He just wants to get up there, do his job the best of his ability. He sets himself high standards. He loves being in the team environment. He's got a lot of admiration from the rest of Springboks, you know, because he doesn't get involved in off the ball issues. He just does his job and he wants the pack to go forward, you know. And Doc Craven was the one that said, you pick that man first, you know. So I would, knowing what I do know about scrummaging, to me, and forward play, you know, we know the importance of Dwayne in our maul setup. We know the importance of having him in the right position to set up our mauls, how good he is. But if you've got a guy like you can't always have Dwang in that position. And you've got a guy like France who you can put into that position as well. It's just massive. So the whole set piece, he just gives it solidity. You know, if I ever had to go up against him, you know, he would be probably be the one guy who I'd create a lot of interest around as an opposition coach to say, we've got to get to this guy. But his personality doesn't allow you to get to it. He doesn't get fazzled. He doesn't get involved in the sledging. He doesn't get involved in niggles. You just can't get to him. He stays in his zone and he does it. So it'll be a tough game. I think Ethan de Groot is probably the one guy. I saw a couple of scrums in the game against New Zealanders at Twickenham. The first two or three scrums, there were a couple of penalties there. And I thought, there's a few signs there that he's looking to put France under pressure. So I think from a technical perspective, he's probably the only guy that, other than Kitsy, that I know could put France under pressure. So it's going to be a fantastic game.
And I think one of the big talking points during the course of the World Cup in terms of our team has been the loss of Malcolm Marks and Bongi Mnambi stepping up, and especially you as a forwards coach. How do you think that the Springboks had to adapt to that new dynamic?
Yeah, I think, you know, that just bodes to how mentally tough Bongi is. I think it was 2019, his appendix burst. The start of the year, January, his appendix burst. He lost 12 kilograms. And by the end of the year, he won the World Cup. You know, so that bodes about how hard the man works. I don't see a hooker in world rugby with his physique. You know, so he's obviously got an incredible work ethic. And he's tough. He's really, really tough. He doesn't back down. He's always in the fight. He's always in the contest, and now he's grown to be a captain, which is remarkable. And I think we always look, and I felt the same for Trevor in 2019. Losing Trevor, he had become a big part. He'd become a starting tight head, and then losing him with his calf injury. Yeah. And now Malcolm, I feel for these players come the World Cup when they get these injuries, and they've worked for 4 years to be part of this, and they lose it. So I feel for the man. I really do. I think it's tough, really tough on the person. So I feel for Malk. But I think the stroke of genius has been Dion Fury.
Yeah.
That's been the stroke of genius is in 2012 when the Western Province won our first Curry Cup in a long time. He was the captain. Him and Jean de Jong were the two captains. Dion, and I think that's, if you speak to John Dobson, he'll probably echo my words as being how hard he works and how solid he is in the Stormers environment now. And you can see his moment, his try, was probably the changing point in the whole game against England. So to come on in that position, you expect the Springboks to maul. And you pull something like that out of the hat, gets around Billy Vanapolo to score, to set up that try. That's what we've gained. We've gained a player who's very experienced now, who's a leader, who has an attitude of never say die. Coming into that situation, coming into the toughest periods of the game. So the two toughest periods are the first 20 and the last 20. And so you've got this incredible strong front row in the first 20, and you've got this unbelievable human being energy dynamism in the last 20 who can make decisions.
Yeah.
I think that's what we've gained. So it's tough on Malcolm, but I think we've gained something that's going to be pivotal for the success of the Springbok pack. That if they ever did get put under pressure, you've got a guy who's going to come into the situation, and everybody says, yeah, but he's not a real hooker and he's not this. Well, he's won Curry Cups.
Yes.
He played as a young hooker. He played against Bismarck, Yanni and Beast as a young hooker to win a Curry Cup. So he's a very, very good player. And he's never going to say die. So give me that any day. And you know what you're going to get from him. You're going to get a warrior. And that's what we need. You know, him and Quagga coming on, they're probably the catalyst that changes the games in the last 20 minutes because they attack the breakdown so hard. So if a team is ever trying to accelerate against us in the last 20, they take that away from the opposition. So I think Dion has been a fantastic acquisition.
Yes. And the thing is with Dion, he also it's almost like he's a bit of a joker card for the coaching staff as well, in terms of you don't know really what you're going to get. If you look at the England game, it was kind of obvious that he is the reserve hooker on the bench. And I wouldn't be surprised if England prepared accordingly and that, like, the two flankers will play the full need to play the full 80 minutes now. But then he comes on in Siya Kolisi's place and Bongi Mnambi plays the whole game. So he kind of keeps the opposition on their toes as well in terms of, like, where is he going to slot in during the game? And also you have a flexibility as a coach to decide where he's needed.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%. I think you could see the way England looked to put Alana under pressure in the first 20 minutes. They disrupted our morals. We lost two or three lineouts. So they were obviously saying, well, you know, we can go at these two hookers they're throwing, you know, probably not as renowned as what Malcolm is as a thrower. And that was probably a big part of their game plan. The Springbok pack settled down. Bongi got into his rhythm. You know, at the end of the game, we scored the winning try from Alana. So you can see from a tactical perspective how the players have the ability to solve those problems.
Yes.
So a team comes up with a plan, has a great plan, but because of the competency of the players to solve that issue, they diffuse it. And I think it was such a clever a substitution to bring Sia off, because Sia's a hitter. Sia's a he's a ball carrier as a hitting six, and the game didn't turn out that way. The game turned out into a kicking fest, a set piece festival, and if England ever got behind, they would look to press the button to attack.
Yes.
So how better having two open sides who could then attack the breakdown in the last 20 minutes if England ever decided to attack? So I think it was a clever substitution. You know, they could have quite easily said, well, let's bring Dion up into the hooking role. But to have that flexibility to say, no, the game is going to change.
Yeah.
You know, the minute we start taking control of the set pieces, England are going to change their tactic. And they did. But they couldn't get anywhere because of having, you know, those two guys who are so good over the top of the ball, you know. So I think it was a great substitution, really, really clever substitution.
I can imagine that also as a forwards coach, the last 15 minutes of that England game must have been a really entertaining watch, especially as a South African fan.
I did an interview with British Press on Tuesday, and I said the same thing to them. You know, they were very scathing of the last 10, 15 minutes of England, and I said, well, you know, South Africa's taken 4 years to build that, you know, have that ability. So it takes a lot of investment in players to have that ability in the last 20, that your set piece intensity goes up. And I said, being a forwards coach, just I would have coached both those packs of forwards. So sitting there watching them was, you know, everybody around me was jumping up and down. And I said, I had my daughter with me. And I said, no, we're going to win this game. And I could see the momentum shifts. Yeah. You could slowly see the momentum shifts. And from a purist perspective of being a forwards coach, it was just immense watching that, just watching and understanding exactly what each player was trying to do. And what impressed me was two things. It was the intensity of the English pack. I thought they hadn't played with that intensity in a long time. So that impressed me. When I coached England, we had gone 53 test matches without conceding a mall try. It was down to Mara. To see him back at his best, I thought Marla was exceptional. I thought Dan Cole was exceptional. Probably their best games they've played in 4 years. It was just really, really special. So, you know, I look at the game from that perspective. You know, yes, I'm a South African supporter because I'm a South African and I love those players. But I look at the game from a rugby perspective and see, you know, and I think Ben O'Keefe has taken a massive amount of criticism, you know, and he's going to take it. You know, as I thought the referees have taken a lot of criticism in during the World Cup. And the more we criticize the referees, I think the more damage we do to the games.
Absolutely.
The game of rugby. But I think the one thing Ben O'Keefe did is he allowed both teams to play their play, to play their game plan. He allowed England to be combative on the game line, to be disruptive, but yet he still rewarded South Africa for the quality of their set piece. You know, so he allowed both teams to have their contest.
Yeah.
And the one thing you don't want is a referee taking that opportunity away from players. So I thought he handled that really, really well. And I think the referee for this weekend in Wayne Barnes is probably the best referee currently in the world. And the reason I say that is he doesn't get affected by the occasion. He stays quite calm. And I think the last thing you want is a referee getting affected by, you know, I'm in the middle of the World Cup final. You know, you want him to be able to stick to the game. And I think that's what we're going to have in Wayne Barnes. You know, so I think World Rugby's been good the way they've utilized referees. I think they brought a couple of young guys in, but, you know, I think we still need a bigger occasion and more occasions where world referees are together in one place constantly and referee all world competitions, because you can see you get a level of consistency now when they're together. So I think the more we can have our referees together, the better it is. I'm just looking forward to this game. It's going to be a fantastic game.
Yeah, and I think one of the main talking points heading into this World Cup is the team selection, and especially the 7-1 split. What is your feeling about that? It's a massive risk to take, but do you think the reward will outweighs that risk? And especially, what pressure does that put on the backs with only having a guy like Willie on the bench? Especially if you're looking at the England game, like within the first half, we saw that we needed Faf and Andre and those guys on the field to change. Now we won't have that luxury.
I think the reason we had them was we weren't quite sure in how we would have to play the game against England. And I think the conditions necessitated the change. England were winning the kicking game. So we needed to change our kicking game from a 10 kicking game to a 9 kicking game.
Yeah.
And that's where Faf came into it, is I think he was more comfortable kicking from 9. You know, and that was again a clever selection. So I think the one thing that the selection for this weekend has shown is the way that South Africa is going to play. Mm. It's probably shown the All Blacks, listen, you know, we don't have an A and a B game this week. We're going with our A game. So I don't think it's a risk. I think if you understand Rossi in the sense that he backs his plan, he backs his players, and they've come up with a plan for this week, and they're going at it with everything they got. And I think it's the right way to go in the World Cup. You know, I think to go and hedge your bets between game A, game B in the World Cup, you're probably not giving yourself the best chance to win it, particularly against a team like the All Blacks. So you know whose backs are against the wall. You know, I think if people try and make out that we the underdogs, I think people are delusional. I think we're the best team in the world at the moment. We're the World Cup champions. So yes, and I think we suit that. I think we suit the fact that we know we're the best team in the world. The All Blacks are under pressure. We've beaten them by 30 points 6 weeks ago. So they're under pressure. And that's where we want the All Blacks, but they will kick. We know that about them. They're a proud country. They're a proud team. They like being the underdog. So they will play well. And we mustn't have any delusions that they will play well. But we've gone out with the selection to back our plan to the maximum. So we've got 15 forwards. I don't know, I haven't seen their team yet. I hear it's just Brody Retallick who will start. So they've gone, I think they've gone 5-3 again.
Yes, they did.
So they've got 12 forwards and we've got 15. You know, and that's where the game's going to be won or lost. We've told them that's where the game's going to be played now. The game is going to be played on the gain line. The game is going to be played at set piece. And we're comfortable playing. We really, really are. So we've got 15 forwards who are going to play and they've only got 12.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the defining moment of the game, is we will use all of our 15 forwards. And their number 9, 10, 11, and 12, are they as good as our 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15? I don't think they are. And that's why I think they will start fast. And I just think the pressure will just mount and mount and mount and mount and mount and mount and mount through the game, and we'll just slowly wear them down. You know, I expect to see the two props change at about the 50-minute mark. At the 55-minute mark, I expect to see the two locks change and the back row change. Sia will come off again. Dwayne will come off again. You know, so I think Bongi and Peter Steph will play the whole game. You know, because they fit enough. So, you know, the All Blacks are going to handle that, and I don't think they can.
Do you think that they? What's the chance that they might employ the same strategy as in Twickenham, where, especially in the first 20 minutes, the Springboks kind of almost flip the script on the New Zealanders and went really hard at them, went for the corners instead of the posts, and to try to get points on the board. Do you think they'll go for that approach again, or more conservatively go for that?
No, we'll take our points on. It's a final.
It's a final.
We'll take our points that are there. We've got Pollard, who's arguably one of the world's best place kickers. You know, you take your points and just build your pressure. You know, if we're within 6 points at halftime, we're going to win the game.
Yeah.
You know, I've gone, what have I gone, 27-18. I think we'll score two more tries. The All Blacks struggled to defend mauls against Ireland. They conceded two more tries, and I think it was Geordie Barrett who held up the ball over the line from a third maul.
Yeah.
So I don't think they'll be able to stop our maul. They'll probably stop it for the first half and probably sack it and do some illegal tactics. And I think the referee will be dealt with. There'll be issues around the maul for the first 20 minutes. But the Springboks will just get more and more powerful in that area and just grind them down. So I think that's the way the game's going to go. You know, I'm going to have a good braai.
Yeah.
You know, sit on the couch with my daughter and friends and watch the game and, you know, maybe pour one or two little beverages and just be a normal South African supporter and watch the game. You know, I think it's going to be a fantastic day. But I think the All Blacks have the game to disrupt us, but I don't think they have the game to disrupt us for 80 minutes.
Yeah. Matt, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And good luck watching the game and for the nerves and everything. I just hope it's just not a 1 point game. I know if it's a half a point, we'll take it. But I don't think we'll be able to take.
I would love extra time. I would love a replay yes. of 1995. I think it would be. You know, give us more. You know, I think it'll be fantastic. You know, taking the game into extra time, I think will be brilliant. I don't see it happening. I just see our pack as being too powerful.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, I said before the tournament, the only two packs I felt had it in them to take on the Springbok packs were France and the All Blacks. Because the All Blacks, particularly at scrum time, are really, really good. Really, really good. But I don't see them as that collective, and particularly with us going 7-1, I just don't see them having that to be able to go. And I think that's why it's a good selection.
Yeah.
You know, I think the fact that you can bring Villian into 15 and you can then release Damien into 10, push Pollard to 12, you know, so your centers are taken care of, your wingers are taken care of. The only place that it probably is a risk is 9. You know, and then Chesson comes in and plays 9. You know, so I don't see it as a massive risk. The game will be played eerily. You know, Fyff and Pollard will kick a lot. We've seen they struggled in their semi final. They struggled under the high ball, particularly their wingers struggled under the ball. You know, so those are going to be the defining moments. We've seen that. Rossi and Jock are not stupid. They would have seen those opportunities. You know, Dion is a very, very good forwards coach. They will remember the lessons they taught them going around the front of the mall, going around the back of the mall. So I think we'll see something. That's where we'll see variation.
Yes.
But we'll stick the two main tactics will be the ball in the air and the mall.
Yeah.
And how they do it, that's going to be the creativeness of the plan. And knowing Rusty, there will be creativity. So they will not just present the same picture to the All Blacks.
Yes.
So the All Blacks will have prepared, but there's going to be something different. So they don't know what's coming. So I just think from that perspective, it's going to be a great occasion.
And like you said, a great occasion. I think the All Blacks versus the Springboks in a Rugby World Cup final, it just sounds right. No, nobody will say that the two
That's
teams
exactly.
that, yeah, that's there doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, I remember 95, you know. I mean, I'm old enough to have remembered 95. I watched it, you know. I've got a big poster of the kick, you know, in my house, you know. So that's what we grew up on as South African supporters. I remember the 1982 Flowerbomb series, waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, watching the Flowerbomb series. You know, I can still name that Springbok team that played against the All Black team. These are the occasions where the world stops. The whole world will stop and watch this game because it's the contest between the two styles of rugby. It's the contest. It's the biggest contest in world rugby, and that's the way it should be. You know, and everybody said a lot about the draw and the draw and the draw and the draw. Well, the draw has finally shown the two best teams in the world, number one and number two in the world, are playing against each other.
That's awesome.
The way it should be. So, and it's the two best teams. They've both won three World Cups. Nobody else has won three World Cups. So why shouldn't it be this way? So, you know, I think we mustn't get too emotional. We just let the game play out and then have a look at it and then judge it retrospectively from the end of the competition. I think it's been an unbelievable World Cup. You know, I thought Japan was special. France has been incredible. It's been absolutely incredible. If you look at the amount of foreign spectators at the games, you know, Japan was tough to get to for a lot of people. France has been fantastic to get to for a lot of people. And you can just sit here when you hear the anthems, you can hear the crowd singing the anthem. You know, there's a lot of support for the game. So I think it's been an unbelievable World Cup. Unbelievable.
Amazing. Matt, thank you so much. I see our time is going to run out now. I really appreciate it. I hope you have an awesome Saturday watching the game and cheering for the Boks. And yeah, it sounds like you're pretty confident on what's going to happen. And that I think that gives a lot of people a lot of solace as well. So thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it. Thanks, Matt.